Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest the mayor of Cranston and Republican gubernatorial candidate Alan Fung. Thanks for joining us, Mayor.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning, Rhode Island.
Let's kick it off with some questions for our guest. Mayor, we've seen how you've been outraised in the campaign fundraising department by your Republican rival, Ken Block. Recently, the Republican 2010 gubernatorial candidate, Jon Robitaille, asked for Republicans to keep an open mind in choosing between you and Ken Block. And Block also picked up an endorsement from conservative State Representative Doreen Costa. Does this suggest that Block has some momentum? And what is your plan for winning this Republican primary?
Well, let me correct you on one minute. He hasn't outraised me. In fact, in my one birthday fundraiser that he just had last week, I doubled what he raised all of last year. So, you know, I've been raising a lot more money than he has.
You're not including money that he's contributed to his own campaign.
Well, correct? That's the thing. There's a big difference between self-funding and raising dollars, which is which is what I've been doing, going out and asking people for support.
But it still goes into Block's campaign, even if he's contributing to himself.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it just needs to be clear that I've got a lot of support out there, well over 1,100 individual contributors, a lot of Rhode Islanders on that list, and I think that makes a difference. But when you take a look at who's also part of my team, I've got 23 chairmen and women individually who signed on. We just secured the endorsement of the Pawtucket GOP, which is my second endorsement following Cranston. We're rolling along doing whatever we need to do to secure endorsements throughout the cities and towns, and also asking Rhode Islanders and getting out there and getting Rhode Islanders support.
In a nutshell, what is your plan for winning what will be a hard-fought Republican primary?
Right now, I have the strong poll numbers. You know, we did an internal poll back in January that shows that, you know, Republicans know me, strong name identification. They know what I'm about in Cranston. They like what I've been doing. In fact, my favorables were single digits. It was a 10-to-1 ratio of favorables to unfavorables. So that goes a long way. I've had a decade's worth of experience within the party supporting Republicans, and that's going to resonate for that primary.
Okay, let's go to Maureen.
Well, along those lines, I mean, one of the things you have to think about is your ground game in terms of getting out the vote. But on the other hand, let's face it, the Democratic primary is going to probably be more visible. And a lot of independent voters are going to go into that primary. How do you see that as affecting your chances in the GOP primary?
We are expecting what we're expecting for a turnout based on the history of, you know, past Republican primaries when there has been, and we've seen that historically in the past. But we are establishing our ground game based on getting out the vote, having that decade's worth of experience, having the fundraising dollars we're raising, which, by the way, we are going to be doing the state's matching funds, is going to provide us sufficient support, sufficient dollars to get our ground game up, to get the voters out.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, once again, we see this big battle over tolls on the Saconic River Bridge. What would you do, and how do you think that such infrastructure should be paid for? Is this the responsibility of all Rhode Islanders, or should we be having a user fee where people who actually drive over that bridge pay the toll? We finance it that way.
What I would support is a more public-private partnerships. I think I'd mentioned this even before on the show, starting an infrastructure bank, leveraging some of the dollars.
Yeah, but we already, the bridge is up there. I mean, we got to
do No. I agree. I agree with the bridge, but the dollar cost and how you do it, what I don't support is tolls that in that area that negatively impact one part of the state versus the rest.
So all Rhode Islanders, in other words, ought to be chipping in for this.
However we do it, whether it's public-private partnerships, which is one of the things that I support in starting that infrastructure bank, or any other ways to do it.
So you're saying eliminate the tolls on the Saconic Bridge?
Yes.
Mayor, you've been an outspoken critic of the proposed pension settlement that emerged last month. Governor Chafee, Treasurer Raimondo say it's better to go with a settlement that preserves 94% of the savings from the 2011 overhaul rather than rolling the dice in court. Why do you believe they're wrong?
Because they are putting that 6% is putting it back, and as part of those secret talks that they've been having, on many of the cities and towns once again. We've had enough. Enough's enough.
Because it's a 1% increase. We understand cities and towns are having a tough time, but is that not a reasonable cost to pay?
Ask my taxpayers in Cranston whether they can afford $1 million in 2016. Ask Woonsocket's people whether or not they can afford about $600,000 when they're still on the financial brink. These are the difficult questions that we are all facing at the local. That's why I'm not supporting it, because we have a legitimate constitutional argument and a valid public purpose, in my opinion, to continue that fight. And it's not a roll of dice, because even with that settlement, people can opt out.
You know, I agree with you that I don't think it is uncertain, and I agree with your notion of a compelling public purpose. But short of the court hearing, my sense is some of the legislators before that don't want to go along with this. In other words, don't want to go along with the deal and can drag it out until September 15th. What do you think about that option?
Well, I don't think it should. I think the legislators who have been elected for that office should make a decision one way or the other. And I've been urging, you know, legislators to not accept this deal. Obviously, it's a little premature because the union members, retirees, are going to have to take the vote first, and we'll see what happens. But I'm doing what I can to urge people not to support this.
Now, Mayor, isn't this settlement pretty similar to how you treated your people? You negotiated with your public
safety. Big difference.
What's the big difference?
Big difference. I was at the table well before we just unilaterally took that decision to, you know, fire off a change. Because the other difference at the local level is our benefits are contractually bound.
And yeah, but your process, everybody talks about process. The result of what you did is very similar to the state.
State officials in Massachusetts recently approved plans for a slot parlor in Plainville, Massachusetts. That's only about 20 miles from Twin River and is expected to take at least a 10% bite out of the revenue that Twin River generates for Rhode Island. Mayor Fung, have state officials been urgent enough in responding to this casino threat from Massachusetts? And how should the state respond now?
I don't think so, because I think the state leaders haven't been urgent enough in responding overall to our economy. We're still sitting with, you know, lagging behind many other areas. We have to have a sense of urgency from all leaders at the state level, at the local level, pushing for a better economy. Particularly, this is one area with that Plainville that we should have been anticipating for years now, that this could happen. So we have to work with Twin River to try to help them enhance and find new revenue sources. And I'm glad that to hear that they are moving along that line with the Hard Rock Casino down in Biloxi that might help them grow some more with alternative revenue. But we've got to do more to help them survive.
Scott, how do you think the state should respond to this threat from Massachusetts?
We've messed this thing up for years. The fact is, it's like a bank. If you owe the bank $10,000, they own you. If you owe the bank $300 million, you own the bank. And the problem with this industry now is we have to give them almost everything they want. The problem is Rhode Islanders don't always want, on the local level, what might be good for the state. A very good example, voters in Newport said no to table games. Absolutely, they don't want them. Now, it would have been better for the state in a competitive standpoint with Massachusetts had Newport voters allowed that. But they said no, and it's a democracy. And some of these things that these people statewide think is a great idea is going to be hard. And this whole thing was flawed. We probably should have allowed the Narragansetts to build their casino in West Warwick, taken a chunk of that money, and let them build a destination resort. Now we're faced with Massachusetts is going to put up a cross between a Whole Foods and a Super Stop and Shop, and we're going to have the 7-Eleven. Right across the way. So I think we're in big trouble.
What do you say, Maureen?
I say we should have been thinking outside of the box. I think we let ourselves get locked into Twin River, and they have enormous amount of leverage. And what they're doing out of state is not going to enhance our revenues. I see the end game here, which is kind of a curious thing, is the substitute, I'm afraid, is going to be legalizing marijuana. I think after the election, when we get some feedback from Colorado, we're going to fill in the gap with the legalization and taxing of marijuana.
We're short on time here, but quickly this week we saw how Mirth York endorsed Gina Raimondo for governor. In 2010, York had chaired Angel Tavares' campaign for mayor. Mayor Fung, you're friends with Mayor Tavares, even though you're a Republican, he's a Democrat. How significant do you consider this endorsement?
Mirth carries a lot of weight from the East Side crowd, so you know that will have an impact, I think, in that race. But in a three-way race, everyone has a chance, and as we saw from the last poll numbers, Angel is slightly in the lead in that Democratic primary.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the mayor of Cranston and Republican gubernatorial candidate, Alan Fung.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.